Okay, I think I am. So I did not realize it was the last song, and so I ran up here, and I actually left my sermon in the pews. William, it's behind you. Will you bring it to me? Dylan, he's great. He preaches with the slides, but I got to do a manuscript, or else I just say and all that way too much. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to pray just to start us out, if you guys will bow your heads with me. Our Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this church and for this opportunity to bring your word. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to learn how to better set an example in our church and in our community, and I just pray that you would help us to grow and become closer to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so who here has ever tried like a workout program like P90X or CrossFit or goat yoga? I've not done that one, but it does sound hilarious. It seems like every day there's some new fitness program that's being pushed on TV, you know, promising better results that are life-changing. And these ads are really convincing. You know, you watch it for 10 minutes and you think, maybe I should do this, when at first you were kind of writing it off. You can't hear me? Okay, let me see if this will help. Okay. Is this a little bit better? Okay. Which actually. So you've got these people who are, you know, running these programs, and they're no slobs, right? They have washboard abs and rippling muscles in their arms and legs, and they're mean, lean workout machines that will get you into shape. And so can you guys imagine for a moment that, you know, you saw some infomercial on TV for a workout program, and it was somebody advertising the program to you who was overweight? Odds are that program would not be a very good seller. We have a certain standard that we expect when it comes to these fitness programs. We expect that anybody advertising these programs will look like the promised results of the program. We want to see better than us. We want to see something that we can aspire to. Well, today we're going to talk about that a little bit in how God wants us to lead by example and what it means to live a, you know, quote-unquote spiritually fit life. And just like, you know, the toned and tanned fitness instructors on TV, God wants us to become believers who can set a standard and will aspire others that they would like to reach. So we're going to start today with some verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it's a little bit of a chunk, so if you'll just stick with me. It starts out, Paul says this: "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." Oh, I didn't realize I didn't actually click. "If you point these things out to brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe." Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, for which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. So if we go to this fitness analogy for a second, what are the standards to be a fitness instructor? You have to be fit, don't you? You have to be in like the top physical shape. And ideally, you get there using the program guidelines that you share with others. You eat right, you avoid junk food, and you work out several times a week, if not daily, and you practice what you preach. Paul's instructions can be summed up in those few words: practice what you preach. If you want people to be wise about false teachings, you yourself need to be wise about false teachings. If you want people to avoid gossip, you need to avoid gossip. We need to be examples for others by loving, being obedient, and pure of heart. And we need to persevere practicing our faith and exercising it daily. So I know that that might seem like, you know, a big ask. It might seem like, you know, a lot to do. But whether you're, you know, a pastor or a teenager or, you know, a dad, like whatever, you know, titles you hold, sometimes it can be hard to practice this kind of life that Jesus led. But what happens when we find the strength and perseverance to stay spiritually fit? God can show us and his people his love, and he can use us to show it. People will see that we're not, you know, just giving lip service to God, that we're sincere, that our faith is real, and will draw other people to Jesus in the same way that a fitness leader inspires other people to go to the gym. And we'll see the difference that Jesus made in our life, and our people will see the difference Jesus made in our life, and they will want it for themselves. So when I was younger, I didn't do sports. But I did do cheerleading, and one time all of us cheerleaders got in a bunch of trouble by our coach because we were doing this offense cheer, and I think it went something like, offense score, come on, six more, and we were just chanting that, you know, and our coach comes over and proceeds to tell us that our team was not the offense, our team was the defense. So we were actually cheering for the other team, and she, you know, kind of tore into us a little bit, and she's like, you girls need to be watching the game. You need to be knowing what's going on so that the cheers you do fit with the situation, or else we look ridiculous, and the other team is going to laugh at us. So, you know, sometimes do we do this with our faith, where we rely on, you know, the coach or somebody else to sort of tell us what's going on, and guide us, and we don't even realize that we're cheering for the other team with our lives. So this summer, a few of us went on a missions trip to Puerto Rico. And on that trip, we got to hear a couple different speakers, but one in particular, her name was January, and she was named after the month of January, but her name was January. And she was originally from the Philippines, and she was a missionary to the country of Japan. And so she works a regular job, though, in Japan. She is a missionary, but that's not how she is, like, financially compensated to be there. The Japanese people are not particularly receptive to Christianity. So what she does as a missionary in Japan is that she simply makes friends, you know, with people in her community, and she looks for opportunities to share about Jesus. So she told us a story about when she finally got to talk to a friend about Jesus. So in Japan, Christmas is mostly celebrated as an American holiday. It's not really thought of as a religious holiday particularly. And so the Japanese celebrate it by eating KFC. because I think that's just the most American thing they can think, but I'm not kidding. And you may have heard this before, but what I did not know that January told us was that you actually in Japan have to order the KFC like months in advance because it's everybody orders it during that time. So in order to make sure that you have it, you have to like prepare. And so this friend that she had who doesn't know Jesus sort of asked her, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Do you have plans with anybody to eat KFC with them? And so she took this as an opportunity to say, well, actually, I'm going to be celebrating Christmas because it's a very special time for me as a Christian. And she got to sort of, you know, share what Christmas meant and all of that. So January's friend did not become a Christian overnight. She, I don't believe that she was even a Christian at the point that January told us this story, but she was able to plant a seed. And I love that story because here's someone who moved countries to share about Jesus, and it comes up while discussing fried chicken. I mean, if anybody wants to get a bucket of chicken and talk about Jesus, hit me up because I am down. But here's my point. This lady is a missionary, and what did that mean? What did it look like for her in her life? Being a missionary meant doing life beside people and giving your testimony. And here's the thing that I want us to get from this, that Jesus gave us a job to do, which was make disciples. And so next we're going to read Jesus' words when he commissioned his disciples. And to give some context, Jesus already had died, was buried for 3 days, and rose from the dead at this point, but he had not ascended yet to heaven. So these were some of his final words to his followers on earth. And he had appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and instructed them, hey, I want you to go get all the disciples, bring them here, tell them to go to Galilee, and I'm going to give them further instructions. So when the point where the disciples make it to Galilee, that is where our portion of scripture starts for today. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. So, go and make disciples. January was a missionary, but her whole goal in life was to spread the gospel. And the thing about it is, though, is other than the language difference and the location, should her life look all that different from ours? Jesus instructed this to his followers. And that means no matter what your occupation is, we're all missionaries, so to speak, as Christians. Coffee with a coworker, helping a friend move, making cookies for a neighbor, all of these things that you would normally do in your life, they're all to show this love and light of Jesus. Eating chicken with a friend, it's prime gospel territory. So there's a church that I've been to before, and they have this sign when you leave their parking lot. And it says, you are now entering the mission field. So that meant, you know, you come to church, you learn, you get equipped, and then you were to go out and sort of exercise what you were just taught. And this church wanted to think of themselves as missionaries in their everyday life. And I think we have this, when we have this sort of mindset shift, we change the way that we think about things, we're not so much consumers at church, but instead we're contributors. We're active participants in the ministry that's happening. So I have this friend, and we're just going to call her Tiffany. And she started working at a new job, and it was a store-like environment. And so Tiffany was working with two ladies, and they were in their 50s or 60s. I'm not exactly sure their age, but I know they had been working together for like 20 years. And when that friend of mine started working there, she was really strong in her faith, and it just naturally came up that she was a Christian. You know, they'd say, oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going to my Bible study. You know, just things like, oh, we should pray about that. It just came up in conversation. And so she was talking to one of the ladies, and she asked, because they knew she was a Christian, she asked one of them, like, oh, do you go to church anywhere? And the lady responded, like, yes, I've been going to so-and-so church for many years, and I'm involved. And so then my friend Tiffany asked her, oh, what about the other lady? Do you know if she's a Christian? And the woman's response was, I have no idea. I've never talked to her about it. And so I'm not trying to, you know, dog on this lady, but because I think that we all probably have some people in our lives that we have blind spots to, but we have to consider what the alternative is. We have the best gift in the world as Christians. We have the joy that the world can't offer. We have the peace and the rest that the world can't offer. We have Jesus, and people are hurting out there, and we have this guy who can lift their burdens. And don't we want to share that? Don't we want to bring everybody into the family? But maybe the reason we're not sharing is because we haven't felt the presence of God ourselves yet. Maybe you're so stuck in your pain or holding on to a sin and you just don't want to give it up. Or maybe you're just tired and you feel like you don't have any fight left in you. And if that's you, I do want to share some good news, because Jesus is here and he's ready to receive you. Whatever ugliness or brokenness or pain that you're dealing with, Jesus can handle it, and it doesn't shock him. He's seen it all and he can deal with it. Sometimes, and a lot of times, it takes work, it takes Bible study. And the Bible says this about that. This is from Romans 12. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are called to renew our minds in order to be transformed. And how do we do that? We do it through, you know, personal Bible study, through discussions, small groups, Sunday school, whatever it may be with other believers, but through attending church on Sunday. And the Bible says, be transformed by it. And those things that might feel insurmountable, maybe they won't, you know, change overnight. But if we keep plugging away, praying, being a disciple of Christ, we will be transformed. And maybe our situation will change, but maybe our perspective will as well, even if our situation doesn't. So Pastor Dylan is on sabbatical right now, and our denomination is very adamant that pastors do this because once they've been posted somewhere for a while, they want to ensure that their pastors can be, you know, revitalized in their own spiritual lives and be able to, like, you know, step out of it for a second so that they can see it more clearly, the church that is, and recast some vision for it. And I got to talk with Pastor Dylan a little bit before he left about some of the ideas he was thinking over. And I'm very excited for him to come back and kind of start implementing some of these things, because I think God has some incredible things in store for our church. And it's not going to be, you know, Pastor Dylan. It's going to be all of us working together under Jesus to not be, you know, consumers and all of that, but to be all together contributors to this mission. And so, and I think that our Sunday morning sort of culture at church, we're going to have to think about a lot. And so you guys really inspire me with the way that I've seen you guys love on people. And so I'm not, like, you know, trying to say people are doing a bad job or anything like that. Like, truly, I am amazed at everyone like Sundays. It fills my heart. And but I think it's important to be reminded, because when we're reminded what we're here for, it helps us to be more conscientious of our actions. So on Sunday mornings, I love coming to church. Like, it's great to see my people. When I come on Sundays, I see my church family, and the world that feels like pretty dark and heavy can feel a little lighter because I'm here with people who share my beliefs and love Jesus and love me, and it's wonderful. So when we come here and we feel this family, this love, I don't want us to forget that there might be people here who it's their first Sunday or it's their fifth Sunday, but maybe nobody has really talked to them yet. Let's create this culture at Middletown Church the Nazarene that just brings people into the family that are new. There's always room in the family for more. In William and I's families, you know, when a new baby is born, it is so exciting, and everybody's joy is just multiplied. So when we get a new family member in our church, it should be like that. Everybody should come make an effort to meet them and invite that person to lunch, introduce them to another person. These are things we can all do to connect with people when they come into our church. And it might feel hard or awkward to put yourself out there, but we've got to make an effort to love on people who've put themselves out there to visit our church. So just to recap, in order to share the gospel, we've got to practice what we preach. We've got to exercise our faith, right? If people see what we're doing and they see how Jesus has affected us, that is going to inspire people, and they're going to want what you have. But if you're not doing that yourself, like, it's not going to inspire anybody. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think it would help if we thought of ourselves as missionaries in our lives. And when we think about that as our prime occupation, our outlook changes, our focus shifts. And then lastly, let's create a culture of bringing people into the family on Sunday mornings and inviting them into the fold. I'm so excited to see how God is going to work in our church this next year. And so if you guys will, if you'll bow your heads with me, I'm going to pray, and then the worship team is going to come up. Father God, I ask that you would help us to live a life of a great example to inspire others. I pray that our faith would be so so just enlightening to other people in our lives that they would just see the light that you have placed in us, and it would draw people to it. Lord, I ask that you would help us to remember what our main purpose is here, and you would help us to think of ourselves as your disciples here on earth. And Lord, help us to just create this culture of bringing people into the family, and help us to continue to love on everyone who walks through our doors. And I just want to lift up this church family, and I pray that you would just work in each and every one of them, and pour your love and grace out onto them, and encourage them to grow. So I just ask that you would train us by your Holy Spirit so that we are spiritually fit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.